wait.
We're already rolling.
Let's roll.
Good morning. This is the Wednesday, April 15th meeting of the... Oh, that's... I'm reading the agenda for the board meeting. Okay. This is the...
Good.
This is the regular...
Good save.
This is the regular April 9th, 2026 meeting of the Finance Committee. Present are Director Gear and myself, Director Merchant. We will call the meeting to order. There is no public, so we will waive the comments from the public. And we will move to item three, an information item, audits update. Cecilia.
Yes. All right, audits fiscal year 23 and 24. Balance sheets rec, we are at 97%. Review balance sheets reconciliation jumps to 91%. It's a little bit slower because I had been working on the budgets. Audit work paper preparation is now at 80%. Anticipate audit, I'm really gonna want to start in May. And I have regrouped with my team, and I think it's very possible. So, second page, please. So, while I've been working on budget, my team continued to work on the three sections, AP. In looking at fiscal year 23, we did find a lot of duplicated transaction. It's about 400K. We adjusted that, and as of last night, we just finished the fiscal year 24. We've made about another 400K of adjustment in fiscal year 24 as well. So we're done with AP now. I have not checked that box because, you know, I prepared this package way before. The bond, my team also went back to 7 years of record to see what we have paid out of the RMCSD account for bond-related expenses. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. We've also finished the 2 years of fixed assets. So really, a lot of the sections are completed. The remaining boxes are really wrap-up kind of thing, and me reviewing it. That's the most important part. I intended to finish reviewing everything in the next 2 weeks. If I don't have any other budget items, then we can start the audits. So that's where we're at. Any question before we move to the next one, which is finance report?
Nope.
Okay. Good show.
So we are looking at the finance. If you can jump to the budget versus actual. Okay, so in front of you is the budget versus actual, and we're looking at July to February financial statement. The benchmark for 8 months of financial should be 67%. So if you're looking at the percentage of budget, we should be hanging around 67%. And I want to let you know that there's another new statement that I have put in. If you can, so what you're looking at is budget versus actual, and if Diane can turn to the new statement that we've been looking at, working on. So this is a new statement which shows you monthly financial. It's a newly crafted financial. What's the problem with this is normally if you look at any financial statement, you can see the expenses very consistent, but not this one because things were entered from July to, I guess, December on a cash basis, not as a accrual basis. Remember I talked about AP has been imported as of when it's paid. So each month expenses is not very consistent. And I can't go back and change it because that means I have to redo the whole financial statement. So bear with me as you see the income statement, it goes up and down in each month. It's because of that. And we try to do some reclasses, and you see the negative amount in certain July to mostly January financial statement. You see a big credit. It's because we try to reclass certain expenses to a better category. So with that said, if you can go back to the commentary, if you can go up a little bit. Yes, thank you. The next page. Mm-hmm. So I want to focus on a higher level first, which is that box. So operating revenue, we are at $6.2 million compared to a budget of $9.6 million. Annual budget, we're at 65%, right around that benchmark. For expenses, we have two categories, which are operating expenses and G&A. For operating expenses, we're at $4.4 million compared to an annual budget of $6.8 million. We're at 64%. G&A expenses is at $2 million compared to an annual budget of $2.6 million for the past 8 months. We're at 76%, so it's a little bit over the benchmark. And total expenses as a whole, $6.4 million compared to $9.5 million. That's right around the 67% benchmark. Now, if you take the total revenue, which is $6.2 million, minus $6.4 million, we're running a loss at $163,000. And with that, we're dipping into the reserve. And you can tell that there's a property tax revenue that we received in February for $489,000. With that help, we are coming out with a positive note of $325,000. So we are dipping into the reserve, which is really earmarked for operating fund.
So do you, first of all, revenue should, we're at a point where our water use will start to become significant. So as a result of that, we should hit 4 or 5 months now of
higher revenue?
Higher than average revenue for actual water usage. Mm-hmm. I mean, the rest of the bill is static, but you know, that's a variable in there that
right.
reacts to the weather pretty much.
Right.
So does it look like we're going to wind up year end where we're going to be pretty, are we in a position where we're going to break even?
I don't think so, because I heard there's more repair and maintenance expenses. I think Corey found something that we have to fix. So I don't know how it will land in March and April.
Well, I mean, our total cash basis balance is our revenues minus our expenses, and our expenses are going up. But your forecast, I mean, our revenues are going to be the same, and that's a different question than are we going to be taking more money out of reserves. But we're going to have, so yes, we're going to go from what, like a million to 2.2 million gallons a day, and at, you know, penny per thousand gallons. You know, it's going to bring us in our usual summer revenues.
It depends on our spending. I mean, based on my projected financial statement from last budget, we're still going to be eating up the reserve from property tax.
Sure.
We're still going to need that help. So with that, I want to talk about the reserve revenue. $1.1 million compared to annual budget of $1.8 million. And 65% right around where we should be. Developer income, that 3.4 is the donated from one of our developer. Now I'm gonna go into the detail. If Diane, you can move to the budget versus actual. First page. All right, so as a whole, everything that I wanna talk about, it's highlighted in red. And resident fee are slightly lower than the budget amount because our budget was calculated based on the number of connection, but it should be invoice. Interest earning and interest income total $136,000 as compared to $97,000. And that $97,000 was budgeted very conservatively. And then as far, if you move down a little bit, to the operating expenses, we're at 56%, which is below the 67. Director of operation position is vacant for several months now, and several security team member at the beginning was also vacant, so causing the lower expected, lower compared to the budgets. And then in February, I wanna go to the monthly financial February. So if you can go to the operating expenses and just highlight the February expenses for salary. Go down salary. Right, this amount here. So you see that 218 is a big jump compared to the prior month. So that's because we have an increase in salary with security supervisor and also a new hire in security department too. Now I do have financial statement for each of the function. I don't know if you guys want me to start including them as part of the month end.
So I would. You might want to just put them in the packet, and we can kind of treat them like we would, the consent calendar, if you will.
Yeah.
I mean, put them in there so we. Somebody wants to point to some specific part of. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But I mean, we don't have to beat them up one by one at a meeting. No.
Okay. So the next item, if you can go back to budget versus actual. Thank you. So the next item under operating expenses is benefits. We're at 32% of the annual budget, lower than expected considering the vacant position. I have to do a deep dive as to how the budget was prepared and what happened. Chemical, we talked about it, we're under budget, and this is continuously going to be much higher than normal. Repair and maintenance, we're at 181% annual budget. We talked about the lift station that we spent about over 100K on it. And in January, we also have another emergency repairs. So those two kick us out of the normal repair and maintenance, and we didn't budget for those. So the next item is training. This is, again, under budget. Contractual services, out of that 1.3 million, a million is for the California race recovery. So you can see under solid waste, in that column, the fourth column, 1 point some million. That's, so out of 1.3, 1 million is for cow waste. So I don't think we're budgeted correctly for the cow waste. That's why we're at 71% budget. And the next item is telecommunication. That item too is under budget, and I know what's the true amount under telecommunication, and the budget wasn't prepared correctly. Now let's get to G&A expenses. So G&A expenses is 55%, which is below the target. GM, Director of Finance, AP and HR, Accounting Tech were not included in all 8 months in this P&L. And if you can go to the February monthly financial statement and go to the G&A expenses. And under the first item under February, we have a surge in payroll there, and that's the retro payment to the GM, about 60K. So that's the jump. And benefit taxes and pension is about 67%. And remember, that's an under budget item for the OPAP. We budget for 249. When we pay for it, it's actually 464. So community communication, we're also at 198% over budgets. And we have to do a deep dive there because the ABS invoices consist of the mailing plus the postage. And most of the time, the postage were coded incorrectly to this account, and it needs to be in postage. Repair maintenance, we're at 172% annual budgets, and we have several deep cleaning and gutter AC repairs for this, which were not budgeted for. And we did budget for it this year. Utility, again, that's another under budget item. I don't think that's done right. Legal fee, we talked about that was budgeted for 97K, but we have a lot of legal consultant during the year. I still need to go back and pull out the FSA and developer fee related item down to the non-operating items. And that's an exercise that we have to go through all the invoices. Consultant fee, this consists of the AP, district secretary position, temporary position. They're all budgeted in here. GP consultant that I hired to turn on the grid playing system for bank rec, interfund allocation module, fixed asset. Those are sitting in that bucket. HR recruitment fee, it's over budget because we didn't budget for HR to go. And I saw some EPS financial invoices in that bucket too that we need to look at it and pull them out into a non-operating expenses. Office expenses, I don't think we're budget for it correctly, but I did see some Dell computer that I need to look at and see if that's fixed asset instead of office supplies. So overall, the total expenses is 67%, hitting the target, but we have a few items in there that I might want to take a look and pull them out of that bucket and put them into non-operating revenue. As I talked about earlier, the operating results before the property tax is at $163,000, and property tax reserve is now being used to absorb the loss. I want to bring up something while I'm working on this. Can you go to the monthly financial? Please. Okay, can you go to the second page where you can see the reserve? I want to emphasize this, that all these financials are preliminary. We have never done the bank rec. We have never done balance sheets reconciliation. And when I'm actually going to do a good month end, I want to be able to do analysis. And I want to point out something that bugs me is under the water, the monthly financial statement under water cap replacement reserve. I can't see that far. Is it that last line here?
It's the last line.
Right. So if you focus on that line, that is the fee that we receive from a billing for $16, mm-hmm. both water and sewer.
Right.
And that number needs to be very consistent. But you can see that number jumps from 87, 93, 91, 99 to 78 and 79. That doesn't make sense to me because I took that number divided by 32. Our number of invoices jumped to 3,000 from 28 to 3,000. You know, that when I am actually going to issue financial statement, those kind of things will be already analyzed and corrected. But right now, I don't have the bandwidth to do that. And that's what we did in the audit. We found a lot of problems with the audit to make sure that the reserve is done right and it's tied to the number of invoices. You see that, right? That 78K doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't because it's a fixed cost and, mm-hmm. and the only...
And our invoice don't jump that much.
Yeah, I was going to say the only way it can increase is if we add a meter. You know,
It doesn't make sense.
Which adds a bill.
Yeah, so when you do a month end, really all these numbers needs to be plowed through and make sure it's right, and we just don't have the bandwidth to do that. And it takes a lot of time to go back and look at it in detail and go, why is it behaving like that? What's going on, you know? So for now, I don't have the bandwidth to do that, but I want you to point out that there's a lot of analytical that I need to do during month end, and I don't have time right now. So that's why this... I want to emphasize that this is all preliminary. There's still a lot of work to be done there.
And where it says water cap replacement reserve, that's water and sewer? Or
yeah.
Is it? Okay,
yeah.
Together. Okay.
Yeah. So if you go back to the first budget versus actual, and you can... And if you can go to the second page where you can see the water reserve fund, one more page down. Okay, hover there. You can see that the same water cap, if you can expand it bigger, the water cap reserve, it's broken out by water and wastewater.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's...
And those should correct me if I'm wrong, those should be equal numbers, right? Because we have an equal amount of money on the bill for each.
Yeah, I already did a
preliminary.
I already did a preliminary analysis. So what I want to see is the water bills equal to the sewer bill. They don't.
Yeah,
the number of invoices
that
should be.
No.
Yeah.
That
so something
make
is
sense.
Wrong inside that we need to correct it before we issue financial statement. And
how far are we off between water and sewer bills?
40 invoices.
At $16, it's a lot of a lot of bills.
So something it's not coded right, or something it's not. I don't know until we actually drill down and go, who is not getting the $16? Are we classifying things correctly inside?
Travis, what do you think?
My question is that per invoice or per meter?
Per invoice.
Okay, because I was going to say if it was per meter, then we could go to the gardens.
Yeah.
But if it's per invoice,
it should be consistent. But I'm not surprised with that when I was doing the budgets, especially on security and drainage. I see that a lot of things were bucket into the wrong category. But I don't have time to go change it because I have to do a deeper dive on what is being coded to security tax, what is being coded to drainage. But those are the things that we really need to, back then we just slap a number in and put it in, but my accounting is we need to deep dive and go, is that right? And these are reserved, you know? So I want to point that out for you. If you can go to the next page, the cash and investment. Oh, any question before I move to the next slide?
Nope.
Okay. Keep going, one more.
Can I just ask one question on the invoices?
Yeah.
Would all of the RMA invoices, get charged sewer, or are they just getting charged water?
Those are the deep dive that I would love to do.
Okay.
I don't have time.
Because I'm thinking that those would probably be pretty close to the RMA amount of meters, or you know, that they have.
You're right. That's possible.
Yeah.
And I, yeah.
But
there's,
they should not be
changing.
There's
got to be a reason. We just don't know what it is.
Right. Haven't had a chance.
I just know that number doesn't make sense to me.
Sure.
But I, you know, can't. I don't know what's going on. And remember, July to December, I was still focused on doing the first audit. I didn't look at these numbers until now. So there's a lot of things that I already saw that is a problem, but I don't have time to, you know, go down. Okay, I'm going to talk about cash and investment. Is that a good time, or can
sure.
we? Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's look at our cash and investment balance as of end of February 2026. We have $12.8 million. Compared to a year ago, we were at $15 million. So that's a big drop a year beforehand. Now, if you look at, I always look at my banner money market as unrestricted funding, because that's where we cut all the check, receive all the utility billing. And then both CAM and CLASS are restricted funding, because we don't take out money from there. But in reality, CIP project that we cut a check from Banner Bank should be taken out from the restrictive account. We didn't do that. In my other clients before, we do that monthly. You know, we shift the restricted fund and unrestricted fund. We literally transfer the fund from both to match up what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
We have not been doing that. And that's part of my monthly service when we do accounting. That should be one of the task lists that we should do. The transfer happened after month end, but we will always give you what exactly is the unrestricted and restricted account. And in the middle part, I did a little summary to say, per the bank, unrestricted fund is $2.4 million, which is the Banner Bank, and restricted fund is $10.3 million. Now, I want to move $2.5 million from the restricted back to the unrestricted, just to kind of say that this is really should be our operating fund, because per our policy, we should have 6 months. And if we do that, once we transfer 2.5 from the restricted to unrestricted, we're looking at 7.8 million of restricted fund. And that's low for a 24 million of net asset.
It's a water tank. So let me ask you something.
Yeah.
If you move if you move $2.5 million from restricted to unrestricted, that money, as it sits in restricted funds now, is specifically allocated by fund to water and sewer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you move it out of that fund and you move $2.5 million, to all of it, mm-hmm. from water restricted, mm-hmm. fund, and mm-hmm. you move it across to unrestricted, can you do that?
You can do that. Yeah, I used to.
Oh, I know yeah. You can do it, but does the law say we can do it?
No, you can do it. That's what I meant.
It's like commingling of funds.
No. So, I... Sorry. So, I used to manage all these restricted funds. We have a schedule that laid out what is the restricted fund, what are we spending on, and then the ending balance. And then we calculate interest off that. So with that schedule, you can literally true up the actual bank account for the unrestricted and do it that way. And by law, we have to do that. We have not been doing that. So yes, to answer your question, with a detailed schedule, I can move on around based on what I know should be spending under that restricted fund.
But aren't they restricted because they were collected for a restricted or
yes
individual use, like
yes.
that $16 for water,
right?
We can't spend that on security.
No. So I in my audit, I have to submit a schedule like that for the auditors to audit. And so in each of the fund that is restricted for whatever purposes, I have a listing of expenses that I gave to the auditor and go, this is part of the CIP budget, the budget 2 years ago, and we're just going to spend it through this fund. I give this schedule to the auditor so that they can audit our restricted fund.
Yeah, but here's what I'm trying to understand, is if I move $2.5 million from the water restricted reserves at Banner Bank and I move it over into my operating capital, it doesn't lose its restricted connotation when I move it, does it?
Okay, so if you're talking about that $2.5 million, I'm not going to move $2.5 million from that. I'm just giving you an example that to maintain our operating reserve, our Banner Bank needs to be at almost $5 million, and
right.
I want to come up with what's the true restricted funding left. But I'm not going to move that $2.5 million.
No, and I'm just trying to use that number to illustrate
right.
where my confusion is.
Yeah, no, I can't move that.
Yeah,
I have to do a schedule and true up what am I spending on under these restricted fund.
Because then, in my mind, this could be incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that the only unrestricted money we have is money that we get from the county,
mm-hmm.
which is unrestricted. I mean, we've had this fight countless times.
Unfortunately, during the budget, we bucket that as a reserve.
Yeah, so. and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And you can move that across if that chunk, the $2.5 million chunk. Well, we don't get that much from the county. But if we move a chunk of the county money over, yes, you can use that as operating capital in any way you see fit.
Yeah.
But it can't be confused with the fact that we're sitting there with $2.5 million worth of water reserves. If you move that across, it may be operating capital, but it's strictly for water in the eyes of the law, at least as I used to understand it. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I did this schedule just to give an idea.
Yeah, no. I'm just trying to, and I'm not, yeah. what you're doing is probably fine. What I'm doing is trying to understand what you're
right,
doing. That's
right.
All.
Yeah. So, okay. And I want to emphasize that when in any part of the accounting organization that I had, we always have restricted fund. Like, even though you're governmental, nonprofit, your boss is going to tell me, make sure you reserve this much for whatever. So I have to have a schedule to make sure that my balance do not fall into that.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the nature of restricted, right? And that usually is done monthly. So we know what our restricted balance, but because we never did that, and I'm still catching up on the back end to true up what was our true restrictive fund in the past, that is a crucial element that we need to add in the future when we have a good accounting staff, because every organization will report on that every month.
And do you think, back just up a little bit, where you were talking about the $15 million versus the $12 million, which essentially is our burn rate, are we still moving along at that level? Are we burning at the same at the same incremental percentage as we did last year? Because if we see, for example, if what we're plugging into reserves on the 218 notice, if that brings us, if that yields us over a fiscal year, $1.2 million, $1.4 million, and we're burning at $1.3 million, we're burning at $3 million, we're still going backwards.
So actually, that discussion, I was going to talk about that in CIP project.
Okay.
If you don't hold that thought, yeah. Because okay. I can show you what my concerns are with our burn rate.
Okay.
Okay. So, and you see the burn rate or the spending that we have projected going forward.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So any question with this?
No, this is good. Thanks.
But I'm a little bit concerned that a year ago, Banner Bank is $5.2 million, and now we're $2.4
million. So am I.
Yeah. This morning I checked, it's $2.2 million. Yeah.
So
even
so
after
we have a graph of the bank balances, because when you just look at it now, you're like, oh, we've got $12 million. But if last year we had $15 million, then that's a big issue, right?
Yeah, it is.
So can we put that into a graph that shows balance by quarter or month?
By quarter. Yeah, I actually have this schedule now. Compiling it by month so I can drop a graph in eventually.
Sure.
And I can go back and drop last year in. I can ask Chris to do it.
So, because
it will see how it fluctuates our cash flow. Like you said, if the next 3 months will be higher revenue, is it also the same way?
And there was one thought I had in my head when we look forward that you mentioned on, and Travis and I had a brief discussion about this, is, and it's qualitative as best as I could describe it, is we seem to be burning up a lot more money in individual repairs now that historically, at least in my head, mm-hmm. we talked about, we'd get one good one a year, now we're getting three good ones a year.
Yeah.
And I just want to make sure we're accounting for that.
And I see that in
that
my
budget.
CIP, analysis. So I'll show that to you in a little bit.
Okay.
It's been going on, And that drop, it's, I think personally, it's CIP projects. Yeah.
Well, sure, but you think it's CIP projects. Are you putting emergency repairs as a CIP?
We should be. We haven't done the accounting. That's part of the fixed asset accounting, that we should be looking at the repairs to see which part is fixed asset and put it up. We have not done that.
We just paid $2.4 million for the wastewater plant upgrade. That I'm assuming that
last
would
year?
Account for
last year.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean,
this current
during this current year. So I mean, mm-hmm. there's $2.4 million right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate you needing to book our major repairs to things to a CIP, but we need to quantitatively look at the number of repairs we're doing and the cost of each repair, because it's both. Mm-hmm. We have a degrading system and everything's costing twice as much.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be great if we could articulate that. But
so do you want me to look at all the repair maintenance for the past 4 years?
Well, I don't want you to go backwards with trying to get the audits finished.
Yeah.
But it is, I think, at least we kind of feel like our demand on repairs and maintenance mm-hmm. is increasing versus the other way around. And
I see that when I was doing that CIP analysis for the past 4 years too. Mm-hmm. We can look at that, because I'm finalizing the past two audits, and we have to look at all the repair and maintenance and put it back into the fixed asset. That's part of the accounting rules and regulations, and we did see that there's a lot more going into the CIP.
Yeah, and like this project we're doing on the culverts or whatever they wind up to be, That's not a CIP project, is it? That's just straight out repair and maintenance.
That should just be straight repair and maintenance.
Yeah. Well, I have to look at it because that's, we have accounting rules and regulations, and then you have your accounting fixed asset policy. They don't, I have to follow the GAAP first, the accounting rules and regulations, not the policy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so if I look at that and it qualifies according to accounting rules and regulations that that's fixed asset, I have to put it into fixed asset.
Yeah, and just want to point out the reason I'm asking that is that, you know, the wastewater treatment plant upgrade, the whole world knows about that.
Right.
You know, deteriorating culverts that we just find out about, nobody knows about that. And that's the one that I don't want to, in the next fiscal year, I'd prefer not to get caught on. If we do four or five of those along the lines of what we've been doing this year.
That's our restricted reserve.
It's a lot of money.
Because we have two major ones this year. We've got that and then the culverts or the storm drains on the golf course.
Yeah, and then there's the one down there on the path by the river, too.
Yeah, but that one's just, I mean,
that's,
that one's
that's
part,
less of an issue.
Yeah, that one's less of an issue. That's more of a, and we're, most of that's just going to be staff.
Okay.
Staff costs.
Okay. Cool.
All right, so I am going to move to the next item, which is budgets. So everything that that are done, we put across. So Prop 218 is done. And the next item is Finance Committee review of a draft, April 9, which is now, draft operating budget, reserve, and CIP. Since we have already looked at the budget, I am putting CIP as my next item. May 14, we're going to do another set of review. I'm not sure whether we need to do that because I would rather wait until the Prop 218 rate increase finalization for me to do another second layer of budget revision. Emily, do you want to say something?
I think that's the committee meeting's the final chance for the committee to comment on the budget and the CIP items for final review at the board
you
the
mean
next
May
week.
May 14th?
Yeah, May 14th.
Okay.
I mean, if that's the will of the committee to look at it one more time. And not to look at every little bit of it, just to look at the changes that were made, if any. You could come back and say, we haven't made any changes, it's exactly the same as what's already been presented.
So that's the status of the budget calendar. Next item is security budgets. Any question before I move to that? So I want to bring this up because one of our directors asked, I'm not going to approve the budget if we are running a loss in the security budget for $200K. So I want to bring it up and talk about that. If you can go to the next item. So this, I just cut and paste from the budgets, the same item compared to the budget, compared to the projected. Last year budget, we do have more revenue budgeted because of the barcode of 40 or 50K. And we've also allocated a lot more interest into security, which I took it out because what they had budgeted is more of the investment earning, which is restricted, not operation, so I took some of them out in my current accounting. And so that's why my revenue projected is smaller than the budgets last year. And operating expenses too, it's higher because I can't see very well. The operating expenses, we budget for 1.3, it was budget for 1.4. They have a different, totally different personnel model. When it was budgeted, a lot more part-time people, a lot more people. And when Brendan came in, he redid the schedule, so costing a little bit less.
Doesn't, when I'm looking at this, explain to me if you could on operating expenses of 1344, we have a G&A allocation of $500,000. And on, you know, I thought we were down. I thought we were down to where we were 13 or 14% of the revenue, of the overhead contribution.
I think it's 12% for security.
Mm-hmm. It's just that our budget overall G&A expense is a lot more. So that's why the allocation looks bigger.
Okay, and so, yeah. But wait a minute. I'm trying to do the math here. Yeah. So we're saying it's costing us in G&A allocation, just roughly what's in there? I mean, is it an allocation off of our total?
Yeah. So if you go back to the budget versus actual financial, so what's in here is if you can go to the second page, this whole bucket that it's under G&A expenses, the total times 12%. So you can see that in the security column next to the blue highlighted column.
Yeah.
You know, that's the allocation. So what exactly is in there is a lot of different things.
Okay.
But we did, when we budget for this year, the G&A expenses is really a lot higher. We put a lot of stuff in, and that's why that allocation is equally higher. But if you look at the projected... Sorry, can you go back to the security budgets? Yeah. One more. So if you look at the security budget fiscal year 26 to project it, we're projected out for 402 already for the current year. Based on our current financial last month as of January, I was already budgeted, projecting it, it will be 402. And then in this year budget, we added a lot more stuff into our current budget. And so therefore, the allocation is also higher. Any other question before I move to the hem of this thing? Okay,
well,
so the, yep, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just, here's, and I see, okay, we're, in order to bring this back in line, we have to find, as it relates to security, $206,000 to balance it.
Right.
Or we have to make a board commitment. I'm not advocating for anything here. We need to make a commitment out of our property tax revenue to mm-hmm. cover that expense.
Yeah.
My concern.
Or there's a third option, which would be to reduce the budget by $200,000.
Which would mean reduce staff.
I mean, that's just a
question, Amelia. I mean, is there any other place we could go? I mean, because really the security guys, two pickup trucks
and a phone
and radios, but it's pretty trivial compared
pretty
to
minimal.
Staff.
The only place you can go is salaries.
Well, I think that bleeds into the next item that I'm talking about. I'm showing you the detail line item that makes up those expenses.
Yeah. Sure.
If you can hover back into, so the first section, first box, it just show you the $1.64 million of revenue from residence fee and commercial tax. Sorry. And the next section is the operating expenses. So the first few items are salary, overtime, payroll taxes, and employee benefits. And that has a detailed schedule of every single line item there. The total payroll-related expenses is about $1.2 million, which is in, that one. Diane, if you can highlight that for me. Yeah, sorry. The $1.2 million is the total cost per the budgets that belongs to just employee. So, and that's 95% of the total budgets. It's all employee related and benefits and all that. And then The rest of it, the 5%, we have license and permit for radio fee. For some reason, we have to pay a fee to Sac County. And office supplies, that's like trash can, you know, liner and things like that for each of the gate and, you know, paperwork, sure. Office supplies. Repair and maintenance, building ground, $12,000. I said, if we're going to cut it, cut that. And then you guys said, no, we have residents that run into the gate all the time.
Mm-hmm. And we all fixed, the time.
Yeah, all the time. So that's, I thought when we have new gates, we don't need that. But Linda proved me wrong already. So we have to.
Which line item is that, Cecilia?
That's on right the here. Repair and maintenance, $12,000. Can you highlight that, please?
I mean, I got the, I'm just looking.
Yeah.
You which see, I mean, third for the.
It's in here.
This one right here.
You're talking about repairs and maintenance, building and ground.
Yeah,
I'm looking mm-hmm. right at it.
So the 12 gate.
Gate repairs. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
well,
there's.
Mm-hmm. Where is gate replacement?
What do you mean by gate replacement? Oh, you mean the CIP project for gates?
Yeah, yeah.
That's in the CIP project.
Okay.
Yeah. The repair and maintenance vehicle, $3,000 is not a lot. We spent about that last year, too. And Brandon did give me a detail vehicle. We have to change tires. We have to do oil change and all that kind of thing. $3,000 is not a lot. And then we have software IT support. This is the ABDI, or if we're going to change to Go Access, that's the monthly fee that they said they need. And then telecommunication, that's the wireless cell phone stipend to Brendan, and also cell phone that we provide to our team. Training and seminar, we're budgeting $3,000 for CPR baton. And
baton,
sorry, and guard car training, and that's new. Travel and mileage, and that's reimbursement to, you know, all the mileage reimbursement. Uniform, $3,000, that's not a lot.
No,
you know.
And no.
Utility, this is the one that I scratched my head on. So if for some reason we pay RMA SMUD bill for $500 per month. And I forgot this is the North Gate or South Gate.
That's for the North Gate. We own the South Gate.
Yeah.
So we obviously pay SMUD bill there.
And that's $500 per month.
Is it static $500 a month?
No, it's not static.
It's just approximately
a bill
that
they give us.
Okay.
So it goes from $500 to $600 sometimes during hot weather and, you know, that kind of thing. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, this is true cost.
So, okay. No, and you don't have to justify them. They're real.
I mean, we don't need to go over each line item. That's not the problem. I mean, $1,200 for this and $1,000 for that. That's not the problem. The problem is we have board members, probably myself included, who's going to say, look, we should not be running the security department at a loss.
Yeah.
And and we're going to hear a lot from our board member who took it very personally when R failed. Yeah. And he's not wrong. It's like, and so the reason I'm bringing it up, it's not really a finance thing, but it's something that we need to be able to address in our public hearings when Tim brings this up. Either we need to cut staff, or we're going to take it out of our money from the county, which I think is unfair to the rest of CSD. And I think that we need to approach the residents again. I know how painful this is. We need to just say, hey, how much do you want to pay for security? And they'll give us the answer, and we'll go from there.
Yeah,
that's the only way that a public organization should do things.
You hit the nail, and which is my next topic of discussion. Why we bring that up?
Really?
If you can go to the next item. So historically, we are subject to a 2% tax to the residents under Measure J, and this 2%, I'm going to put it on record. CPI adjustment for the past 10 years has been consistently done at 3%. Who put the 2% number in and when?
The guys in 1997 who wanted to pass that.
And this model, it's now already wrong.
Well, yeah, right? The model was wrong when they did it because I have all this data. I mean, it really speaks to my problem.
Yeah.
What they did was they structurally changed the personnel of CSD when Noller was here, and they took him out of a chief's position and dropped him down into a patrol position, so that what it was really costing at the end of the old system, because this was done because of a mandate at the state level that we change. So they took the higher number, which at the time was 600 and something thousand, and they lowered that number and plugged it into the stuff that was issued to favor Measure J, so that you started at an artificially low number in 1997, and then without any other thought to adjusting in different ways, they said, well, oh, folks, it's going to be this, and it can only go up 2% a month. Because I can't remember, but I wasn't here, but I was living here when we voted on this, and we weren't paying anything near what we're paying now. I mean, so we've been in the hole since we started, the 2% just all the way from, we've never been able to keep up.
Keep up,
the only way we did, and the breaking point was when we did the analysis originally that put the security allocation at 30%, then that coupled with the fact that we had overrun that so much and we had a fully functioning staff, we were borrowing more money than the $206,000 out of our property tax allocation. Yeah.
So what was your point on this item?
So my point, if we keep going on this, on the next page, I highlighted a few of them. So stop there for a second. One more page.
One more page. It's highlighted.
So I looked at what we spent on and compared to what it's required under Measure J, and you can see that we are spending on those. Right? I just went through the budget with you guys, and we are spending exactly what it should be.
Exactly. We're not covering... That thing says nothing about an overhead or a purse contribution or anything
else. So that goes to my last bullet point, A to G, I believe. The last point, other incidental costs of providing the services. I looked at that and go, what exactly does that mean? So I looked up and go, this is just for minor expenses. It shouldn't be covering our G&A costs. So this, again, the business model is wrong. It didn't write into the fact that, if you go to the next page for me, please, is what about payroll processing? We pay a fee to Paycheck. Yeah. We have people paying for, we pay for Hazel's salary to process payroll fee. We have, this is insurance that we have to carry. Why is Measure J not written to cover that cost? Workers' comp too, we were required to pay for that. How come it's not in there? HR consulting to security, we have a lot of issues and question from the staff. HR is on top of that. How come the Measure J doesn't write for that? Administration staff meeting with various, you know, you guys are all going out to meet with the RMA folks, and it's required. We have to do that, and Brendan is meeting. How come those are not being covered too? So there's a lot of things here that this Measure J, we need to start thinking about charging a fee instead of doing Measure J. And it's, you know, I've talked about in my budget that healthcare costs, it's at least 10%, and it's going to keep going. And all the other salary costs, it's increased, especially after COVID. It's increased. I don't know about from 1997 to before COVID. I don't remember. But, you know, this business model of 2%, it's, are you kidding?
Yeah, no, and that was what the bond issue Measure R, when an R?
Measure R.
That was supposed to account for that, and the vote on that was that they did not choose to support it.
Yeah.
So we know that this is broken. How are we gonna fix it? I can't charge a tax and a fee at the same time.
No, and we can't. And I'm at the point. And last year I supported the fact, because of the noise, that we took, I think it was 83,000, and Tim and I had this discussion, it's on a tape somewhere, and we covered it with property tax allocation.
Yeah, we did.
And
yeah.
then we had a discussion about how we were going to raise revenue with the bond thing, which is not yet off the ground. So my point to the 206,000 is not that we should supplement security. My point is that before we go any further in May, when we vote on this budget, that we flat out tell the public this is what's going to happen. Not, oh, well, yeah, we know that it's a big increase this time, and we've never had increases that were good, blah, blah, blah. But this time, it's a big increase, and it's not all for water and sewer. I mean, it actually makes that, it compounds that problem, because money we would be using for reserves we're propping up security with. So guess what? We need to have the answer for that. There's going to be two less patrol people.
Do you want to move this to a discussion? Do you want to move this to a discussion item to further change this? Because I've talked to other MBS, our bond consultant, and they said that more and more people are changing this to a fee charge services instead of a Measure J.
I don't. If that is the case, then something has changed in the law.
Yeah.
Something has changed.
Now, I know that there has been work done on drainage. Because
so the drainage
because
fee the
whole
the
world
tax.
At the state mm-hmm. understood when they changed that tax structure mm-hmm. and they included drainage, that drainage is an inherent part of water and sewer. Yeah. Okay, it's what a water district like ours does.
Yeah.
And there are now ways around that. You can abolish a drainage tax, and I believe we'd have to find out, and we can with a new water lawyer. We can find this out in a hurry.
Well, Patrick already
told us
that we could kill off drainage.
Yes, we can.
I'm finding it.
But you can't kill off security.
I read that article. I read that memo from Patrick. We can definitely do it, but we have to do these process to change it. So with our aging system, we are already fixing here and there, and I have to book end of drainage. We're going to run a loss on that.
Okay, so that the problem in drainage is not of that same magnitude, but in security, we also have a written opinion that we can lower the tax to zero. Okay, but to increase the tax
requires a
bond issue.
Bond.
Requires a bond?
Well,
not a
bond issue. A
measure.
A measure. Tax increase, yes.
Yeah, a tax increase, yeah.
I felt like this.
And that's the fair way to do it. Say, what do you guys want to spend?
Yeah.
Rather than just we're trying to shuffle money around from slush fund, you know.
Now, one of the things I suggested, for example, to Amelia is to talk to the shopping center. And because we can exercise regional control over the tax. In other words, we can suspend the tax in one part of the community and not suspend it in another, because communities do it all the time, because parts of big towns have stuff that the other parts of the town don't have. So if you were to go to them and the airport, for example, and say, why don't you guys do some analysis on private security? And if you want to pick up better coverage from private security, why don't you do that and we'll suspend the tax?
Sure.
I mean, you know, and I would invite the same
What's that going to do?
Well, it just means
is we're not going to show up if there's a problem at the airport. And that and doesn't really cost
with less patrol to begin with.
Well, but
we can take better advantage of the patrol that we have.
I understand, but all you're doing is taking money away. But the person's still working his shift. And I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm just trying to understand whether the person's driving here or driving there or sitting here.
Yeah.
You're still paying them.
No. Oh, yeah, you are. But what we're saying here with the action we have to take is instead of having four of those people, we're starting off the year with two.
How many, I mean, here we go. But how many people do we have on patrol at any time?
One.
One. And we still have to have one.
Yeah.
No matter who we exclude, we have to still have one. So it's kind of a shell game. We're just letting those guys out of the security tax. That's the net benefit of it. We got to ask the question. I mean, Tim is going to come unglued when this comes up. We got to be prepared to call for the question of, you know, how much does Rancho Murrieta want in their security? And it's like, it's their choice. You know, and because there are people now who are saying, oh, I guess the sheriff moved to substation, and so the response times are better. Maybe that's true. Maybe they don't want patrol. That's fine. But
no, but I mean, we're gonna, no matter what we do, we're gonna live within the tax.
There was that several years ago when they were talking about Measure R. There was that gentleman that kept getting up at the board meetings saying, you know, he did his research and we can get private security for the whole thing for cheaper. Yeah. I don't know if what he was saying was true or not, because not my department. I don't know if that is something that might need to be looked into. I'd hate for people to lose their jobs.
But all that does, Travis, it's like if we fired you and hired you back as a consultant, you know, I mean, we pay about, 35% almost? Marco? Hit for benefits. Private guys, it's probably 20.
Oh, okay.
So, profit margin.
Yeah. So we'd save some money by outsourcing it, but...
But then you've got people that...
You'd save $100,000, and the good guys working here would be looking for new jobs that had public
benefits.
Right,
and then you'd be paying, you know, who knows, because their staff may turn over more than ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So then you got Brandon here training somebody. So.
Nice stuff.
No, but and the other part of that is, too, that isolated to a specific part of the population inside the gates is the gate operation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where you're going here and the problem becomes magnified is these guys that drive around are not only driving around, they're required to show up in guard shacks when guys need to take a break or guys need to go to lunch and the whole deal.
Sure.
So maybe, you know, maybe you're I don't know. You have different segments of the community now that have totally different needs. We never had that before. Mm-hmm. Before we had a shopping center, before we had a two complete developments outside the gate, you know, and you know, all we had was a strip center.
Right.
Sure.
Well, we don't, you know, the needs are not the same.
And you know what else we haven't talked about is going with the new gate service and suspending the gate operations. The new gate service is called, it's not ABDI, it's...
Go Access.
Go Access. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Go Access has the ability to not staff the gate for that third shift, right? And so there's your two people.
We're like three generations behind in gate access.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean...
You know, so we have barcodes, and we have a very poor... Anyway, this is a security issue, but you're right.
Yeah.
We're way behind, and I thought we were going to have a committee of people wearing green hats who we're going to talk with RMA about taking over security.
They are at 2:00 this afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, the green hat. Where's my green hat?
Never know which one I have.
You might get a hat like Travis's. The little beanie thing.
It's out of season now, though.
Yeah.
It's never out of
season. I'll have one made for you next year.
It's never out of season.
So let's conclude. I can't speak.
The other part of that conversation that's relevant is that there is no question that all of this discussion about all of these gates is all relative to only one section of the community.
Sir.
I mean,
what section
And that's inside the gates. And if there's a bill involved with, you know, changing over to modern technology, then that shouldn't be a tax item. That should be a...
Well, I mean...
I mean, you know, so anyway.
I don't... I mean, we need to tackle the whole gate security issue, and hopefully RMA will take over security, then they can handle it. But
right.
I mean, we got the barcodes, which kind of suck. We could go to a license plate reader, or we could go to a facial recognition. And we could also have remote people. We could have like one person sitting here talking on two iPads to people coming up to the gate.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of solutions. I just don't see it. But
so
it's not really a finance.
Yeah, it's really not a finance discussion, but I want to, it's kind of touching finance
sure.
because the whole business model, it's not sustainable. I want to know if you guys want to take it to a committee to talk about this and you know, make a decision as to what changes we should make. Because Measure J is not something that will be sustainable.
Kind of it's a board level thing, I think.
Yeah.
We're going to talk, because we're talking about allocating and taxing.
So do you want to move this to a discussion item on the topic? Because I don't want my presentation to just die.
No. We need to, if we're going to make a commitment to something, then we need to make it in front of the May meeting.
And I mean, I keep saying, Tim, I imagine it's, I know, I think I know what Tim's thinking, thought process. It's such a big item, it needs to be its own item. Because, you know, nobody's going to argue over how much you spend on paper. But they're going to argue over how much we allocate our county taxes to security. So that deserves its own item.
What are the directions of the committee? Please be specific.
Well, it can be, that's a good way to put it. Is not to single out security, but if we are going to allocate both of the payments that we receive to reserves, particularly water and sewer, then that should be a consensus of the board to do that. And then everything else falls into place.
Can I get some clarification about when you said allocating water and sewer to reserve? To security, we're not doing that.
So, what is it? If we don't spend the $206,000,
we are proposing to allocate the property tax reserve to cover that, but not the water, the $16. Yeah, we cannot do that.
No.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that do we want to use the total county tax contribution?
Yeah.
For strictly enhancing our reserves?
I think we have to balance the budget, but I'm reluctant to do that because our reserve money, it's going down lower and lower already.
Okay.
From 15 to 12, you can see the dip. So it's
so Amelia, you're writing feverishly, I see. I mean, it's one big item. It's like we're using the county money to try to prop up reserves, and it's not really working. And we're also talking about taking county money to prop up security.
But going
forward. So then I'm going to put an item on the agenda, if I may, for an action item, approve allocation of property tax reserves. And then we can either put it in, put it in security, put it in water, put it in sewer, put it in.
So to me.
I mean, not property tax allocation.
Probably good. Thank you.
Approve. What did I say?
Property allocation.
Tax.
Property tax reserve.
No, that's where approve allocation of property tax. So our choices are security, reserves, general fund.
But what's that?
No,
you
just
call them
security.
They're not property tax reserves.
I said the wrong word. I crossed it out.
Okay, so what'd you put? Property tax.
Approve
revenue?
Property tax.
County property tax.
Allocation.
Approve annual.
Well, in the last budget, we call it as a reserve. And
it's income. We get $950,000 from the county, correct?
So
the
business model, if we don't go over our expenses, is to take that and put it into our operating reserve. Because we have many reserves
okay,
that we should be
doing. When we book the money from the county,
property tax allocation,
what do we call it?
It's a reserve. It's a reserve. But we have not been. I know. It's
not a reserve. It's an income.
It's an income, but it's a reserve that
it's an income.
I can only book it according
to.
I can only.
You can't book a reserve.
Is there a previous policy then that says that that money should automatically go into a reserve? Is that
when
what you're saying?
When we did the budgets last year, that was itemized as a reserve. So I have to follow that because it's an adopted budget.
For last year.
Right.
But now we're working on this year.
Right.
We're not talking about last year's budget anymore. We're talking about how we want to allocate those funds for this year, for 26, 27.
Right. So,
why would what we did last year influence that decision?
He's asking me how are we booking the current $400K that we...
I understand. I understand.
So, $400K, you're referring to the six-month contribution from the county.
That we're getting right this minute in 25, 26.
We got it in February.
The total amount, the yearly amount is more like 965, isn't
correct.
It?
Yes.
Okay, so budgeted you just said 400, which threw me off.
Oh, the 400 is what we just received, and I went over in the financial
so that
we just
received
in February.
So they don't give it in equal installments?
They don't.
Okay,
they
don't.
They give it to us in three times.
My issue, Cecilia, is that when you look and see that it's a reserve, it's an income to us that we can use as we want,
correct.
I believe.
It's
okay.
Unrestricted
so why,
funds.
Okay, it's an unrestricted income, so why are we calling it a reserve?
So if can we bring up the last year budget?
No, just tell me why are you naming
last year
it a budgets, reserve? I don't
reserve.
Care about last year's budget.
You just asked me a question regarding the 400K, how we booked it. I have to book it based on the reserve.
So what she's income. Saying is the money that she's talking about, the $400,000 that she just received, that is part of 25-26 budget.
Sure.
So, okay, let's not talk about 25-26 budget.
We're not talking about
next
year.
Next year is to be determined. That's
yeah,
why
so
I
that's
this
why.
And go, are we using that funding?
Which
for
goes
what?
Back to the direction I was asking the committee. Yeah. I would like to put an action item on the calendar, the agenda, which is approve annual property tax allocation. And there that will open up the discussion so that the board can decide. If and how much they want to go to water, sewer, reserves, just the basic, you know, our general fund.
Yes.
Is that correct? Am I on the right track there?
I like that.
Thank you.
And it is what, and put in your item, put in that it's the 26-27.
Fiscal year 26.
And do you want me?
Okay. Thank you.
And it's unrestricted revenue.
Approve annual unrestricted revenue from property tax?
No,
well,
not
from county.
Just county unrestricted revenue.
Approve annual county unrestricted revenue allocation.
Correct.
Thank you very much.
To cover the loss, you know, the anticipated loss. Because we haven't finalized the budget
yet. If your
yet.
Burn rate is higher, then you want to be able to use that cost.
So do you want me to bring this up as the beginning of that, you know, are we putting it as consent agenda?
No, we're not putting it as a consent. We're putting it as
a discussion
item so the board can say where they want that money for next year to go. I think that is.
Do you want me to lift this up from the finance packet and put it into that?
Okay. I think so.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Since that's what started this discussion, do we want to use it for the security, to prop up security?
Yeah, and then
which is funny because I've been here almost seven years, and we've been talking about taking that money and propping up security the whole time.
Well, okay, and what's been the outcome? I mean, I'm the new guy.
The outcome has been, yeah, we want to do it. No, we can't do it anymore. We have to reduce the security staff.
No.
And then Mark came along with his great idea that had no merit to charge everybody a barcode fee, and then the board said, awesome, we've got this money coming, let's go ahead and fund security, let's spend money that we haven't received yet, and there's no plan on how we're going to do that, and they rehired back all the security people, and that's why security's over budget for 25-26.
The problem is what we do is We run security at a loss, and then we pay for those losses out of our reserve fund.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I'm
worried.
This is why I call things a slush fund, because it's not what the budget item is.
Yeah.
It's like we got to pay these guys' salary. Yeah. Where's the money? It's in reserve, so we just take it out of there. And it's like...
And that's why our reserves are going down.
That is a scam on the residents, and it's like we shouldn't be scamming them on anything. That's why I was talking about we need to know how many CIP projects we're doing, how many repair projects we're doing, and that number is going up, but the cost of each one of them compared to years past is going up as well. And so we need to realize that rather than just say, oh, we'll just spend it out of the reserves account. You know, no big deal.
Yeah, so another topic that I don't want to drop is the board needs to realize that the Measure J, it's that business model, it's not working. We need to figure it out. What are we ditching this or what?
Right.
You know, that's part of the discussion item, really. So, okay.
Yeah, and we've known for years it doesn't work.
Yeah, so let's make a decision because it feels like we just kind of like put it aside and not talk about it. And then each year we're using our reserve to cover it. Okay, can we move to the next item? Are we ready to move to the next item, which is projected restricted fund?
Okay.
Okay. So there's a big schedule that I'm doing. So you've seen this schedule, but what I've done now, it's under fiscal year 23-24. I have now used the audited, you know, the work that I've done to true it up. A couple months ago when I gave you that number, I don't really know whether that's right or wrong, but we've done a lot of work in auditing these numbers myself. And like you see that the drop in the revenue in the current financial statement for the 76A, we've actually dive in and audit and make sure that everything looks right. So, and then I update it in fiscal year 23 and 24, the numbers that we have so far. Now, this schedule, I have not allocated the interest for the restricted fund to add on this. So this is missing interest. And as I told you before, we should be really doing a true allocation of interest to the restricted balance, but because we don't have that, I'm not putting in that amount.
So where do you
right
put
now.
The interest? Where do you recognize the interest?
So I usually true this up at the end of the audit, but we should be doing that process every month.
We're getting better.
Yeah, we're still catching up. So as far as the box, when I set unaudited, those are still projected numbers. What I have, huh? Those are still projected number because I have fiscal year 25 and current year included. But those are, you know, I still have work to do with those two columns. So all in all, I want to just look at the column where it shows fiscal year 25-26 projected. And look at the ending number. If we collected everything and it's right, we should be projected at 13.9 million. Thank you for highlighting that. And I want to make sure that people know that the first three items, which are capital improvement reserve, those are collected from the developer. Those three items. And then if you move down to the capital replacement reserve, under the source column, those are from our utility charges, the $16 or $14 in those year. And then we have security impact fee for connection fee. And then we have water augmentation reserve. Also, that one is also coming from connection fee developer. Okay? So all in all, we have 13.9 million before looking at what are we spending on that 13.9? We don't have that number because underneath, I have the projected CIP spending for each year. So 13 million minus all the spending, we have 5.2 million left. And those are projected. And let's dial in to look at the CIP spending estimation. Under fiscal year 23, the fixed asset as of now, so if you can just circle it without highlighting, I think it's impossible. So in that number here, we have 2.2 million in fixed asset spending for fiscal year 23. That's high. And I said it's high because our depreciation for the fixed asset is about 1.5 million. And we are paying for $2.2 million in fixed assets in those years. We have Rio also pump rehab. That's a big item in there. And so if you look at fiscal year 24, we also have about $2.5 million estimated for fiscal year 24 spending. That alone is already, comparing to last year, that's another big number that we spent. And we just finished fixed asset. Those are, I haven't reviewed fixed asset yet, but those are numbers that we looked at in the repair and maintenance, reclassify, and comparing to the CIP project that we have approved, it's from our GL detail. So, and looking at fiscal year 24-25, I'm not done with that year yet. What's sitting on my book is about $2.7 million. So from last year to this year, remember I said that we have a drop in cash flow from $15 million to $12 million? Right. Probably is that $2.7 million. Probably. But I haven't done the cleanup for the book for fiscal year 25 yet, so those are estimation. And as of now, fiscal year 25-26, I only put 1.2. I really don't know the number until I dial in and look at the book. And all in all, if you take the total 13.9 million minus all the spending historically in CIP project, we have 5.2 million left. And when I first showed this report, I remember saying that we have about 8 million, 5.2. So, and that's really dangerous for us to carry 5.2 million of reserve, and with a 24 million, and that 24 million is from fiscal year 22 audit of our infrastructure.
Okay.
So one thing that Diana is already on the next slide. This is our proposed CIP project that we looked at, and without going through the detail, the total at the end, if you can go down a little bit, Diane, the total proposed CIP project is 3.4.
And you want to keep it at what? I know it's on the next. I could scroll back down.
Right. So my conclusion is we cannot have 3.4 million of CIP projects, first. Second of all, if our depreciation expenses from the fixed asset, it's about 1.5 million, then we need to stay with that. And so I would like to bring this to the next CIP improvement committee and just trim it down. We cannot have that.
I have an accounting question for you.
Yeah.
If we book a new asset that has a value of something, but we get it on a 72-month lease with a $1 buyout at the end, how do we book that expense? You're booking the entire expense in the current fiscal year.
No. So when we book the, if we have a lease that is for 5 years per accounting rules and regulations, we have to book it as a fixed asset and depreciate over the term of the lease.
Wait a second. We're booking it as a fixed asset, so you're booking the entire amount in the...
In the fixed asset in the balance sheets, not in the P&L.
Okay, so here in your CIP projects for the Vactor truck, you put $750,000. I mean, it's probably going to be about $7,000-$8,000 a month.
Okay, I see what you're saying. This CIP project, it's looking at cash flow.
But I know, but a $7,000 or $8,000 a month payment, you know, that's $900,000, $80,000 a year, not $750,000.
We made this list up before the thought of leasing it. This list was made up in SLIFI. This is just a big wish list, and we all know that it's going to get
trimmed down
quite a bit.
Yeah.
But that's why that 700. And then after this list was made, you started talking about the lease option.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think your credit's good. We should be able to get a lease for this, no problem.
Well, I mean, that's fine. I'm just answering why we had $745,000
my opinion, it shouldn't be $745,000. It should be like $80,000 because that's our annual expenditure. And you're saying we're going to, I mean, on our list of assets, I mean, I don't know what GAAP is, but if you have a lease with a $1 buyout at the end, What do you book that asset, or do you say, no?
You book it as an asset. If we, ultimately, after 5 years, we all have that asset, this, that's ours.
Is this under, is this a GAAP thing? Because most businesses lease vehicles, so they don't have to book the value of the asset.
There's a new ASC 842 require us to do that now. The ASC is accounting standard, and we have to book it. And on our book, on our financial statement, we have to call it as right of use asset, and you have to book it.
Okay, okay, but you can book it, but from a cash flow basis, we should only be putting down like 80 grand. Do you agree
with
that?
Sure, sure.
Okay.
From a cash flow basis,
cash flow would reflect that.
Yeah.
And I'm in questioning, just classification is that Vector truck a, is that a CIP?
Which really? Truck us are we is talking it, is about?
Yeah, CIP.
I guess I don't know.
This one right here.
Well, it's,
yeah. It's not. It's not like a water plant construction.
No, it's a, I mean it's a durable truck. Asset. Yeah, I know. We're buying. We're buying us another pickup truck.
It's a depreciable asset.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm, this is a. I, you're way ahead of me here. I don't know that
so,
much.
So I mean that's
four,
a good
four
question.
Semesters of accounting doesn't get
so,
you that far.
So sorry, that is the question. It's like at one point, like if we bought a new pickup truck, right? Which we do every couple of years. That would be booked how? Would you? Would
we
you
pay.
We just do it as an. We just pay those off in cash, right?
Yeah, the truck, the two truck that we bought this year, we pay $25K and be done with. And so
yeah,
those are.
We'd be
actually
done with it, but cash. With a Vector, we can't do that.
I don't. You know, we haven't discussed the term of payment, and I'm just.
But let's just assume that we can get a.
They want to buy that outright.
A 5-7-10 year lease on it with a $1 buyout at the end.
Yes,
I'm sure that all of the Vector sales guys would give us that pretty much over the phone, send us an email.
Yeah.
I just don't like the way that it hits on here as a CI, as a CIP, you're booking the entire amount in the first year.
That's fine.
Can we, I mean, can we put in a more accurate number?
If you're getting a lease for me, then I'll change it. But this is like a list. That, like he said, we just put it in what we want to do as a higher level wish list. We didn't go down into detail. The next level is we take it to the improvement committee and dial it down and make it and true it up.
Okay.
So.
And when you scroll the list, you're isolating that, and I understand why. But the rest of it is not leasable.
Yeah.
And then also we want to see if the lease imputed interest is higher than our bank account. We want to kind of consider, do we want to pay more interest or not? Or no, not. So, so what I want to conclude with this is, you know the restricted fund balance, and you know the amount of CIP project. And the next slide, if you can go to the next slide. Diane, please. So I had done a summary here. The projected remaining reserve balance is about 5.2 million. The projected budgeted reserve with the increase of $16 to $21, it's about 1.9 million. Don't know whether we're gonna get to 1.9 million. And with that, we have 7 million. And our total CIP project is 3.4. So we need to have a meeting in the improvement committee with this same slide and go, let's get to a comfortable space. We need to trim our CIP. And my goal is if our depreciation is about 1.5 and we might not get to 1.9 million of budgeted reserve, we might get 1.2. Let's make sure that our CIP project spending is about 1.2 so that we don't get dip into our reserve. Because we need to kind of reserve some money aside for, you know, some unexpected, you know, repair maintenance. So that's my. We're not gonna. This is not for us to go down into each item and decide
what to do. You know, and I understand completely the value of a $750,000 vehicle, but maybe
it's
this
$750,000. That's
maybe
value.
This ain't the year. You know, maybe we're renting it when we need it. I mean,
Okay. How much did we spend on Vectors last year?
Vector? You mean the suction truck?
Yeah.
I remember we have a bill for $400 per hour for 6 hours.
We
so it's
probably
a lot of money.
Spent $15,000-$20,000.
Yeah.
That's in the last year?
Uh-huh.
And just that
most
November
of it was
one.
The 6B.
Right.
Most of it was the 6B issue.
So then if we looked at the last 5 years, we haven't,
so that 6B,
you know.
That 6B issue has been resolved.
Right.
You know, you have a mainline break, which, you know, they had that mainline break on Pescado. You have one or two Vactor trucks there all the time keeping the water down so they can make a repair. But then, you know, but it a lot of it also depends, you know, whether they are able to isolate that break or what. So
how much did we spend on the Vactor over there by Laguna Joaquin? What was that on, Colma?
You're talking about the Pescado break?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that they were, I think we had, that whole job was about, we paid almost $10,000 for just, because I was just talking to him about it yesterday, because he's $450 an hour. And he said we paid about $10,000 for that break for him.
I mean, I understand the math. I mean, yeah, if we have, you know, if we're paying $8,000 a month on a lease, that's $96,000 a year, you know. I mean, but on the other hand, if we have a sewage spill and neither of our contractor guys can make it, what are we going to do? Oh, hey, you know, sewage is going to be spilling for the next 3 days.
And also, keep in mind, and as prices never go down, that $750,000 could be $900,000 next year. Tariffs, costs of stuff, you know. I'm just saying.
I get it. I'm just saying,
it's an investment.
You know,
because
I've been around a long time. Yeah. We're sitting here with reserve levels that would be comparable to about 1992.
Right. Yeah. Because also what comes with the purchase of that truck is also another line item on here for the training for the Class B for the utility staff.
Yeah.
And training to operate the truck.
Right. So it's just, you know, there is, you know, yeah, everyone's got to make hard decisions.
So these kind of discussion, let's do it and then improve
the
community.
Yeah, that's where it belongs.
Yeah. And I'm just showing you the funding that we have. And we need to, you know, make sure that we don't spend more than we should.
Well, I mean, not to beat it. Start beating a dead horse. To buy a Vactor truck, it's not going to cost us less than renting. It probably will cost us more, but it's an insurance policy that if we have a sewage leak, we can get on it in an hour rather than 6 hours or something catastrophic. So, you know, if it's costing us 40. I mean, when we were redoing the lift station, we had a big long meeting just on how we were going to, you know, ensure that we didn't develop further problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember that, Travis? Mm-hmm. I mean, so there's value in having excess capacity for the two times a year you need it.
There is, and then there's also the value of what is the state going to fine us per gallon of sewage if we have a spill?
Yeah, and so, it's like. That's right.
That's more expensive.
John's well aware of
John is very well aware
of what that dollar figure can be.
Yeah, we're going beyond the finance committee to the whole big picture, real life thing, and it's like, yeah, let's just assume it'll cost more. The excess cost is the insurance, so that we don't piss off, you know, a quarter of the community. And we don't get fined by the state, and we look like a professionally run organization.
You know, the other thing that is the high level is if you look a year from now, and you're going to make a few cuts and do this and do that, but with a remaining balance a year from now of $3.6 million, understanding that we have, we'll make the assumption that we're going to have clean audits at that point and a good balance sheet. Getting a bond or increasing that number by a significant amount of money is a time-consuming process. there's a lot of time and a lot of money that goes into floating a bond issue.
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, I think when they were talking about a strategic plan and everything else, we need to be ready to move on that when we have the financial reports to support it. I mean, and I mean, move in a hurry, because if you're burning at $3 million, you got about a year.
Like you said, we can trim it down and have more realistic number on this schedule first. When we were all sitting down to do, you were in the room.
We just pop the number in. Next improvements committee.
Yeah, next improvement committee.
Because you'll be there.
And you know, the out of pocket costs that we're looking at going forward as they relate to a secondary source of water. You know, if we're on the hook for those, I don't know where that kind of money is coming from. I mean, I know that preliminarily the initial costs are going to be perhaps in test wells and in buying property for tanks and all this other stuff. But, you know, you only got, you know, there's $3.6 million here projected. Maybe it's $5 million if things are good. That's all you got left. I don't know. I don't know how much that burns up, that is not available to us. The trouble with building a new rate structure is that you're essentially loaning money against that, because you're only getting paid by the meter.
Right.
I mean, we're not going out with a blanket assessment, and like is done in a lot of places, like in Anatolia was done, to do massive projects in front of development. We're saying, well, we're going to get paid off by the meter, and we're not going to accumulate any cash that way. I mean, so
yeah,
we're philosophically, something there is wrong. I don't know what it is.
All right,
we have two more items on the agenda. Are we ready to talk about the next one?
Yep, we are. Structure. Okay.
So accounting department structure. So currently in fiscal year 25-26, according to the chart there, there's me. There's one accountant, which we all know is Chris. And then there are three accounting technicians, which are Hazel. Hazel and Donna used to be counted as one FTE. Donna is no longer with us. Beverly, up front doing utility billing, and an AP person. That's the accounting technicians. An office technician is Jay, which is the front desk, person that helps with cash receipts and all that. And so that's the current financial structure. And I want to fix on Chris. And when I look at his current responsibility, I would say 35% to 45%, it's in billing. So he works with Corey on a monthly basis on generating the billing and doing the routes, making sure that the number gets into the system and it's merged correctly in the accounting system. And then during the month, he has to review the escrow refunds, billing adjustment, and question from all the residents. And yesterday, he just told me that he spent an hour listening to a really rowdy customer talking about her bill, and then he has to go back to do analysis for 3 years and see why the meter fluctuation, what's going on, and then responding back to the person. I saw his time. It's about the second half of the month he's doing that. Now, going forward, I really want him to dive into the $700K that we saw in the monthly. You know, I saw all those monthly revenue going up and down, and I think it doesn't make sense. I really want him to do more analytics before finalizing the bill, and then after that, looking at the dollar amount and do analysis before we say to you guys that reserve is this amount. I see a lot of problem now that I'm closing the book in 25-26. Our code is outdated. our system have not been coding things right. When I was doing the budget, I see that our...
You're talking about our accounting system?
Billing system and accounting, too. So our...
Which side is off?
Billing.
Oh, billing.
Billing utility system. I think Amelia and I, we worked on the... I think it was drainage tax, right? Or security tax, and where they have different categories of, like, retail highway. That's what you... These people are bucket into that. And then you have a remote vacant lot. These people should be in there. I see coding inside are all not what I expected, I should say. And then Amelia and I looked into EPS analysis from way back when.
Yep.
And it turned out that the highway people should be these people, but we've been coding these people in all different buckets. So nobody is really looking at that every month to make sure that things are going in. And when I was doing the budget, I didn't have the time to change things around. No one is auditing our system. And so I want Chris to be more in tune to making sure that we're billing everything correctly, all the classification going in, and it's done by Beverly, or when we transfer from utility star to utility billing, they're done right. Because I, just doing this budget, I already know that there's something wrong. And that's our main source of revenue, and it cannot be wrong, and especially with the reserve, we're charging people that reserve. We said we're going to charge you this, and we're going to deliver, and if that number is not right, it's not good, you know. As I show you that monthly revenue, 99K and then 77, does something is wrong. And we see that in the audit, too. So those are the things that I felt like we have not done in our department. And as a result, during the audit, we're picking up all these problems. You know, numbers doesn't make sense.
Sure.
Things are reclassified into the wrong bucket. So if you can go to the next slide for me. So in fiscal year 26-27, I really want to add another accountant, mainly to look to do all those. So you can see bank reconciliation. You know that I've talked about that. We've never done bank rec at all. In fact, that system was broken. Bank reconciliation and GL, they don't talk. It was disrupted. That needs to be done daily, weekly at a minimum, so that we can see that customer sent us this check, it bounced, let's go back and readjust that and goes into a collection. We've never done that process. So fire hydrant billing, I don't know if you remember in July, I found out that that's not done. And so in the audit, we redid 3-4 years of fire hydrant billing. And but that needs to be on somebody's plate. And once we do that, we need to process the refund back to the owner. We've never done that as well. I talked about monthly balance sheets reconciliation. That's what we're doing for the audits right now. That has never been done, and that's part of the process in any accounting offices that we need to do. Developer billing, that's not done at all. And bond accounting, too, we've never done that at all. Now the Robert Half team is doing that. CIH ditch billing, no one has ever done that. And, you know, fixed asset. We just picked up, Mark implemented the fixed asset module, and now we're carrying it to make sure that it's done, but that process has never been done before.
Yeah, let me ask, Travis, did we replace now down there on the, where, you know, the first when Roger was down there fixing it for us?
Mm-hmm.
Did we fix that and incur a cost?
On which part?
On Dan, on Granley's. Didn't we have a gate or?
Yeah, we haven't done that yet.
Okay.
I'm waiting for the quote on that. But you know, so no, that hasn't been done yet.
No, I was just curious because that whole, you know, and he and I walked that ditch in part, you know, and. I mean, when we look at some of what Cecilia's going through here, I mean, there's you're offering up another salaried position, but there's payback in that, and
yeah.
we're not recovering money that is
especially in the developer fee. Yeah. We've been paying domicilely, but we've never gone back to charge.
So maybe this guy is going to, or this lady is going to pay for themselves.
Well, but wait a second. I mean, we haven't been invoicing developers for anything. We talk about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you're saying we have to hire a whole other person to send Bob an invoice or Carol?
No. No, I'm not saying that.
I mean, there's a lot of...
There's a lot of different things in here.
You want an accountant, I get it. You're mm-hmm. not underworked, okay?
Right.
You're overworked, but...
But every single department and every single person in this entire organization needs more help. And I say that we hire a manager of administrative services and keep the district secretary position, because I could write you a laundry list of stuff that one person can't get done and hasn't gotten done for years and years. And so I don't understand why an accountant would take precedence over that or a mechanic.
I'm not saying that this needs to pay precedent. We're not fighting for whose position needs to be in here. I'm just saying that these has not been done. And it's not going to be get done with just Chris.
Yeah.
Because his role have been filled. And I don't want to get into the position that, you know, oh, why is Celia having that person and you're not? We're not having that discussion here. This is a finance committee, and this is up to the board for decide. And I don't want to have any conflicts with you just because I'm adding a position. It's a very normal process for any...
Yeah.
company to have a proposal.
Sure.
And I'm not saying that your positions should not be added. I'm not saying that.
But your actions have said that when but thank you.
She's within her rights to request people. My frustration, Cecilia, is we need to hire 5 people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're doing the right thing. I'm not on you about that. It's like, Jesus.
Yeah, so
we need to hire 5 people, not 1.
And well, I think
how can
that
how can we hire somebody who would be a union position, and one of the problems we have here is that people are hesitant to work outside of what they think their job description is. So how do we hire somebody who can be more of a utility player and not say, oh, I'm a, you know, I'm an accountant one, so I'm not going to help Amelia with anything. That's what my complaint is.
It's more cross training.
It's and so that because
and broader job descriptions.
Yeah, I mean, can we write really broad job descriptions? Your job is to do what Cecilia says, whatever that is.
Well, you get hung up in represented, unrepresented. That's where it,
well,
you
it's
know,
gotta
and
be
then,
a
represented. You know, you just have to be willing to undergo the fight with the union if you're trying to label somebody as unrepresented, which it's not. We could do that. We can do that. I'm of the opinion right now that at least over the next 365 days, my priority stays with accounting.
I mean,
we're a water district, but we're teetering because of a lack, not of water. Well, we have that, but we're teetering because we have a lack of financial control and the ability to process invoices and collect money. So
and just
if it takes another accountant to do that, I'm in favor of hiring another accountant.
Well, so the question is, why are we not doing those things?
Yeah, well,
and it's like...
Because, the accounting has been bad for the past 5 to 8 years. I mean, I don't know why they have not been done, but I know coming in, the first 4 months here was doing these,
yeah.
just so we can get the audits out. So
if you... Just let me ask this. So in the labeling, so... Mine is kind of stretched out. Mm-hmm. Is that 1, 3, 4? Is that 5 people totally in our accounting department plus yourself?
Going forward?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 1, 2, 3.
6.
I can't see.
It's six.
Yeah,
so
I think
many
I
people in the accounting department, as in operation, as in Travis and Corey.
Wait,
basically.
Say that again, Amelia.
So Travis has 5, Corey has 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a comparison in my budgets, and I don't have that number in front of me, but my increase in terms of head count is just 0.5%, because Donna used to do some of the payroll reconciliation. She's no longer with us. And so I'm adding 0.5% per head.
Okay.
But a more sophisticated person, so that it's an accounting, because all these, we're paying Robert half to do
I
it now.
I get that.
And I'm not adding this position until the audit is done. I did put in 12 months, but then when I think about it, I don't really need that person until the audits are finished.
So you're saying to hire this person when the audits are done?
Almost, yeah.
All the things that you mentioned here aren't being done now. So why
they're
would we
being
wait?
Done now with Robert Half team. They're going back to
fire hydrant billing.
Yeah, they went back and do 5 years of it.
CIA ditch your billing.
CIA, I didn't ask them to do because.
No, that would probably go back to 1925.
Okay, so CIA ditch building and developers building, billing. This person's going to do that?
Well, this position is sharing the same responsibility with Chris. I'm going to split them up. So I'm just saying these are the stuff that we have never done, and there are findings in the accounting.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Audit that this position will be shared with Chris. Chris will not be just doing what I said here. He will be doing everything with this person.
Okay.
And I talked about reserve monthly reconciliation. We need to get on it. That's what other people do. They have a really good tracking of, you know, what's the restricted balance every month. Income statement analysis. OPEC reporting. We have a lot of, like, reporting to do valuation and accounting-related stuff. System conversion. We bought Casell. And I think Casell, it's waiting for us to say, you know, let's go.
Is that our current plan?
I don't know. I haven't even seen the software, but it's purchased already. I don't know how we can get out.
We haven't implemented any of it. And with our approval.
Yeah.
And
we pay a deposit too. And the thing is, with Great Plains going out in 2029, so in 2028, we need to already know where we're going on and be converted.
We should do all the conversion next year.
That's what I'm thinking, that once the audit is done, we are going into, like, finding what software to use and then start the conversion process. And so I talked about doing Great Plains cloud. I might not have the time to even do cloud-based conversion because I'm still doing the audit for the next 6 months. And it will be a next year project. But at that time, I need to have somebody to actually take us from utility billing, payroll billing, and accounting. All three systems needs to roll into Casell if we're going to use Casell. So it's a huge task. So all those that I'm thinking that needs to be done, it's listed on here.
You talked about hiring another person, but really, we need to talk about the accounting department structure as a bigger picture.
Yeah, so I have one more person that I'm redoing the job description in the second part of this. One more thing is the current AP position, which is used to be Shelby. And she
Are you at here?
Number two?
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm changing that AP position to be more of a staff accountant so that that person can handle or the day-to-day bank reconciliation, specifically the receipts that we received into the bank versus Tyler.
So and you're doing, this is for a refocusing of the accounting technician, one of the three that you have authorized, and what about for your office technician?
That will remain as it is for now. I would love to give that person more job responsibility, so that's to be, you know, determined.
So, and to do that, you want to redo her job description, correct?
Possibly, but I'm not thinking about that right now. But the AP position will be more doing, not only just putting the invoice in, she will be doing more, he or she will be doing more of a accounting job to do the reconciliation, 1099 process, month-end accrual, and maybe doing the fire hydrant billing as well that we haven't done. Because right now that sits into Beverly, but she's not having that capacity to do that.
Okay.
So the future accounting will be, at this point, for the next 12 months, that I think we, once the audit is done and I'm back onto monthly accounting, doing a full-blown accounting, that will be how it looks like.
So is, which, when you realize, and you don't use the name, so maybe I'm just missing it, Is there one person that physically does receivables, or is that, is, are you doing?
So Beverly is the utility billing person. She is doing billing with Chris.
Okay.
Because Chris creates the row, and then Corey goes out and pick up the meter number, and that they two work together to make sure that file merged, and it gets into the billing system. My problem is we need to audit that before we finalize the billing, and that's what I want Chris to really do more of the analytics before we finalize the billing, because we see problems.
So who does when this thing is fully functioning, who does the bank reconciliations?
It will be mainly from the number two position, but finalizing it with the two accountant reviewing to making sure that. But because we have to make sure that the cash comes in, recorded in utility, is the same as the bank, that needs to be daily or weekly.
And is that person then ultimately responsible too for past due?
Is that past due is Beverly.
Okay.
She's been doing a lot of work on collection every month. I've been sitting down with her to make sure that this list of people are overdue, and we're sending them 10-day notice and 3 days notice, and then shut off, and working with the operation department, and also getting into the installment plan, monitoring that. So there's a lot of work that's done by Beverly.
Well, okay, you didn't quite answer my question about redoing job descriptions to make it so that staff members can do a wider variety of things. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't this be kind of an important thing for us to tackle, because we are going to have to go through the union?
So I have already drafted the job description for that, and Kimberly has already, the HR Dugo has already reviewed it first shot, and I haven't picked it up to kind of finalize her comments. And it, when that was approved by her, it was before this agenda. It was after this agenda.
But so we should have, at some point, we should have a redoing of all the finance department people so that everybody, I mean, if we go through them one at a time, I don't think we'll ever get there. But, I mean, if you review all of your staff accountants and technicians and whatever you want to call them, everybody in your department, and make sure that everybody has a full plate worth of stuff so that.
Yeah, you know, for now, between all the audits and everything, I only have time for two. But yes, we need to redo everybody's job description to align it.
My only comment is, like, if we hire one accountant for you, we have to hire two assistants for Amelia. And I just don't see that happen.
That's not my decision. I'm just letting it out that, you know, right now the accounting department is deficient in all these reporting that we haven't done, and especially developer billing. For the past 4 years, we have not collected a dime. And so if we can get on it and collect from them, we can beef up the cash flow.
Yeah.
And God knows how much we've been spending, and we have not been collecting since Mark's year.
Sure.
I know my accountant already did the first two audit year, and there's already like a listing of things that we have not collected. But if we started collecting them, then our cash flow will improve too. So it's just that don't have the people to go in and do it.
No, we look. We need more staff.
We need more staff. We need more admin stuff too.
We're failing in a lot of areas because we don't have nearly enough staff. And you see it in accounting and finance.
And Amelia see it in hers too. And I don't know that. I'm
every
not disagreeing.
Every single project we do, we don't have anybody who looks into all the details of the project. I mean, we can get great. If Travis is sitting here, we ask him a question, he gives us a good answer. I'm not denying that. But we need to review all this stuff from a more technical level. We need to apply for grants. There's a ton of stuff we're not doing. And you know, someone, you know, now hopefully that when we hire a director of operations and a general manager, hopefully those two people will be doing a lot. But I don't know. I mean, another off subject. How we doing on that?
That's a finance committee.
Yeah, I know. Amelia, how are we doing on hiring?
We've started the process. We're expecting interviews to start in June for the general manager. The personnel department has instructed us to begin the recruitment for the director of operations, not in July, but as soon as possible after the general manager. So probably
next month we'll start. Who directed that?
Personnel committee.
I mean, I think that's a mistake. I mean,
You want to hire?
I want to start the process.
Okay.
We have to start the process. They said they need to start general manager.
We should start the process for everything.
Yeah.
And maybe we wait. I mean, because I think we may have more employees anyway. You know, we start the process, and then after the general manager gets here, then we can fine tune it, hire people. We may, because I noticed that on this next agenda we have a organization questions. I mean, we should think about it, but what if we hire somebody? What are we going to do, change it twice in 3 months? I don't know. Anyway, keep going with your... Sorry to hijack your meeting, Cecilia.
That's okay. So my last item here is... Oh, by the way, so just hold on to that. I will be taking the job description that for these two positions to be in the personnel committee to be approved. So the next topic is bond administration costs. So in the first table here, so apparently we send this to MBS every year for the past so many years, and that's how they allocate a bank account for administration fee in MBS. So we have five different bank accounts in Wilmington Trust, and one of that is encumbrance to pay off administration costs. And this is a schedule not prepared by me, but my predecessor, that says this is the accounting costs that the bond needs to pay. So you can see that every month, it's from fiscal year 2020, it's 34, 44, 45, 48, and 55, and 58. We've never charge the bond. So bond right now has a high balance in the administration fund account that they're saying that we possibly need to use that funding and pay off the principal. So I need to do this. We do have two bank accounts. One is the Bank of America, which is charging us $500 to $600 bank charges monthly for nothing. And then we have another account called Wilmington Trust. So the Bank of America account, you know, as you remember a couple of months ago, I did a presentation. It was a commingle of fund that goes into that bank of B of A to pay off the construction. And then we have a remaining balance there for the past 5 years that there's no activity but bank charges of $600. So what I've done here is I asked my team to go back and look at invoices for past 4 or 5 years and allocated these items that should be paid off from the Bank of America account so that we can close the bank and not get charged $500 to $600 per month.
Yeah.
And once we have that, the funding our RMCSD bank account will be better looking. So this is what the consultant have done. So far we have about $95,000 for the past 4 or 5 years. And the bank account as of February, and I have not looked at the March bank statement yet, it's about $88K. So I am asking for an approval to okay on transferring the money from B of A to pay back RMCSD for these costs.
Yeah.
So this will be a consent agenda, right?
This is an action item.
It's up to you guys.
Yeah, I don't see any
more
reason.
More things on consent.
Yeah.
I don't know why I saw Patrick's note.
I know. Did you see that?
What the heck? More everything on. We should have everything on consent that's not a debatable issue.
Right.
You know?
And this is not a debatable issue.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
So once I have that transfer, I'm going to close
the account,
and be done with.
That's a smart move.
Yeah.
They're banditos anyway.
I know.
B of A is just terrible.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it. Are we done?
We're done?
We adjourned?
Yep. You have any comments? You have any other
comments? Move it to the consent agenda?
They just don't.
Okay.
12:05.
Yeah, we're adjourned. Yeah.
See you.